Okay, I know some of you are saying there's no connection between Genesis 12 and Acts 2. Well, there is. Same book. Same Bible. But there's a greater connection than you might think. Our theme this morning is gospel blessed to be a gospel blessing. Gospel blessed to be a gospel blessing. Father, we ask for the ministry of the Spirit of God upon our hearts and our minds, that we would hear the word of the Lord, that we would respond and act upon the word of the Lord, and we thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Gospel blessed to be a gospel blessing. I don't think we're the first generation, but certainly for us it seems that there is always an abundance of stuff going on in the world which distract us from that which is most important. Matters like those that are set forth in Genesis 12 and in Acts 2. At the time of Genesis 12, Abraham, still known as Abram at that point, had just moved to Canaan. I don't think there were any news people or television stations watching, reporting on that, or whatever media they had. If there had been media, they would not have been concerned, even as the media, whatever they had in Noah's day, I don't think they were reporting day by day on what Noah was doing. They could care less. And so it has been through much of the history of the world. God has been blessing, making people a blessing to others throughout the world, and the world doesn't take notice. They have a different agenda. The problem is we get sidetracked on their agenda. If we just had two words to describe 2020, we might pick different words. Two words to describe or to identify our major distractions. I'm going to choose the right two. No. But I think you will agree that, yes, this is a cover for most of the other ones we'll give. Giant fear. Giant fear. Fear of a virus, fear of dying, fear of our country being destroyed, the list is endless. Fear of being left out, fear of losing your sweetheart, fear of, again, the list is endless. And if you're a Christian, it does not matter what giant fear is trying to dominate your life or what worldly passion is wanting to dominate your life. As a Christian, you and I need to get focused on the bigger picture. God has blessed you that you might be a blessing. And we must not allow the stuff of this world, and it can be in the eyes of the world, good stuff, not so much fears, but the sensuous pleasures of life that people are going after. For after all, Noah's time, they were buying and selling and eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. They couldn't have cared less about Noah. And so we are blessed to be a blessing. Our perspective about these things makes all the difference in the world. I read about a guy named Billy. He was a college student, and he was chasing little Susie. Well, apparently he must have been doing some running while chasing little Susie, because the track coach noticed that guy's fast. So he pulled him aside and persuaded him. That's like Cloyd was doing to Sally 60-plus years ago. So, but in a better spirit. But anyway, so the coach pulled him aside and persuaded him to go out for track. And he figured out pretty quick he was good. He began to take hold of it. He began to change all of his eating habits and a lot of other habits. And Susie got into the background, and now he's at the big meet, the statewide meet, and he's going for the championship. He thinks he has a good shot at the championship, and little Susie arrives on the scene, dressed to the hilt, trying to make the biggest of impression, and she had his favorites, homemade chocolate pie with three scoops of ice cream. Come spend some time with me. No. What do you mean no? I mean no because I am a runner. He had a new identity. He had a new passion. He was no longer some little kid feeding his flesh. He had a new passion, and it changed his decisions and choices. And you and I are no different. Now, I don't know this little guy, but we've all heard, or maybe most of us have heard, of a real fellow, Eric Little, the movie Chariots of Fire. He was indeed a runner. He was also a missionary. He knew the Lord. He loved the Lord. And there was some tension there between he and his sister. She was always afraid that he was going to put the gospel's work and the kingdom of God and mission work in the background. But there's a scene in the film where he says, you know, God has made me fast. And I feel his pleasure when I run. But I'm not going to forsake my calling as a missionary. And so the grand occasion comes of the Olympics. Started to say the World Series, but it's wrong. The Olympics, and he finds out that his heat for running is on Sunday. Can't run. And everybody in the world tried to pull him away from his conviction, from who he was. They appealed to everything, all the way to the king. Love of country. Can't let the frogs get one on us, meaning the French. Whatever they could pull out of the hat, he would not budge. Because his identity was being a Christian and serving the Lord with no compromise. Eric's belief about his purpose dictated his choices. That's why we do what we do. In Genesis 12, 1, 2, and 3, the Lord said to Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation. I will bless you, and you shall be a blessing. That theme is all the way through the Bible. In fact, in Galatians, when the Holy Spirit moved the Apostle Paul to tie Genesis 12 to the New Testament era, in Galatians 3, 8 and 9, and the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Abraham was blessed with the gospel to be a gospel blessing to the whole world. The design of God is that God blesses so that those whom he blesses will be a blessing. How much of this week at the workplace, around your friends, at home, wherever, in and out of the church meetings, have we thought about who we are, whose we are, why we're here, God's design and purpose for us? How much gratitude has filled my heart or yours? I have been blessed. Not just because my plate is full and the air conditioning works and the car is nice and I've got friends and a church family I love. Because I've been blessed with forgiving grace. I've been blessed to be taken out of the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of God's dear Son. I'm a child of God. I'm a saint. I'm set apart for God's holy use. I'm blessed to be a blessing. This is revealed from Genesis all the way through to Revelation. This concept. In 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 54 through 61, at the time of the dedication of Solomon's temple, Solomon has been praying, and he's standing up, and he's blessed all the assembly, and he says, "Blessed be the Lord, and may the Lord our God be with us, and may he incline our hearts to himself." That's a wonderful prayer, isn't it? "And that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God and there is no other." He had that concept, that vision, that passion. He was one in Israel who had not lost it. God has blessed us so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God and there is no other. That's why God had blessed Israel, to be God's visual aid to the whole world, revealing the true and the living God, blessed to be a blessing. In Psalm 96, 2 and 3, "Sing unto the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day, declare his glory among the nations, and his marvelous deeds among all people." That's why we're here. This is not just Old Testament, but it's all the way through. Declare his glory. Display the full dignity of his character by the way you live, so that the world may know that God is who he says he is. Isaiah 49:6, "I will also make you a light to the Gentiles." So it doesn't matter what the heathen are doing. It doesn't matter. I mean, I know that there are aspects that, yes, these things matter, but in the scope of eternity, and in the scope of what is far and away more important than anything else, none of the stuff that's on our plate that we're afraid about and a fear of desiring and afraid it's not going to happen, that pales into insignificance when we understand what the real agenda is that God has for us. "I will make you a light to the Gentiles that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth." When the angels announced to the shepherds the birth of the Christ child, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people," not just Jews, to all people throughout the world, a Savior. In the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 16 through 20, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." We are gospel blessed to set forth and to give gospel blessings to our world. The resurrected Christ, as recorded there in Luke 24, said, "When I was still with you," he was helping them to understand all that he had gone through. He said, "These are the words that I spoke with you when I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." So there's just one great gospel story. As we've already seen, the gospel was preached to Abraham, that Abraham might give the gospel to the world. And so all the things of the Old Testament were written about Jesus, and he goes on to say, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations." Amen. That's his agenda, beginning at Jerusalem. So no surprise, Acts 1:8, "And you New Testament believers, you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. You shall be those who bear evidence. You shall give forth evidence unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. Do you see a consistent theme here? When God gives us gospel blessing, it is that we might give that gospel blessing to others. In Romans chapter 16, verse 25 and 26, "Now unto him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret from since the world began, but now is made manifest and by the prophetic scriptures made known unto all nations." We're blessed with the gospel to make known the gospel to all the nations. Blessed to be a blessing. One of the things that this helps us to see is that it's nothing short of tragic if you or I, in our Christianity, have dumbed it down to the mere exercise of certain things that we do. We attend Sunday school, we attend worship service, we participate in this way or that way. And of course, that's if nothing else gets in the way. Biblical Christianity is much more than mere attendance. And when we don't see that, and when we don't understand, when we're not gripped with the reality that we have been blessed to be a blessing. Let's put it in another realm. Let's say that you are a scientist, and you were blessed to discover a cure for a disease. And you go home and you write about it and you lecture about it, but you never get it, you never make any effort to get it to the people who have the disease. Or you're blessed to be riding down this road and you discovered before you got there that the bridge was out. It wasn't just closed, it was out. And it's midnight and all the street lights are out. And people are just going and going into the water. But you're blessed. You know the bridge is out. And you go home and you put it on Facebook. You don't tell the people that are going down the road. We understand. I mean, that's foolish. You say, I would never do that. We've received the greatest of all blessings, the gospel. Forgiveness of sin, brought into the family of God. It's nothing short of tragic if all we do is go through the motions and we never focus on being a blessing. You go all the way to the Revelation, chapter 5, verse 9 and 10. They sang a new song saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open the books, and you were slain and you've redeemed us by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation." But again, when we don't focus on the reality, we don't embrace the reality of being a blessing, then we dumb down to mere attendance, and then that becomes secondary, and it's only if nothing else is in the way. I read this earlier this week. Recently, I ran into an out-of-town friend while I was running errands. She and her family traveled several hours on a Friday to an event late Saturday. During our conversation, I asked if maybe I would see her on Sunday the next day. Her response convicted and encouraged me. She answered, "No," but it was not because she was going to sleep in, rest, or whatever. Not because she was going to travel on Sunday. She said, "No, my family and I, we want to be in fellowship with our local church family tomorrow morning, and so we're getting up very early to drive hundreds of miles to be ready to worship with the saints to which God has joined us." You know, as foreign as a fruitcake to most people. There's no concept. I need to be there because there's some brothers and sisters I need to encourage. Or I may need encouragement from them. Or there's somebody I invited and I want to be there in case they show up. Or I need to join my voice in before an audience of one and to worship the Lord. She goes on to say, she didn't say any of that to brag. It was just her heart. And I pray that I may have a similar desire to prioritize fellowship in my local church. Vacation can start a little bit later. I can be a little tired and still join in with my church. I can be a little inconvenienced. It's not really an inconvenience to do the will of God. The local church is the design God has for us. I pray that I don't easily forget that. Thank you, Ree, for giving a public testimony. God has given blessings to you, and you have blessed us, and we thank you for it. Amen. Ultimately, the throne of God in heaven, around the throne of God in heaven, there's going to be the greatest of all worship services. When people out of every kindred, tongue, tribe, and people, because they've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, all the way from those who were saved in Old Testament times through those who are saved in our era, there's going to be a great time for eternity of seeing his face, worshiping him, serving him. You know what this reminds us of this morning? I know that you'll give agreement to this, but all of these verses help us to see in a fresh way. The Bible is a God book. It's not a me book. And so many times, even as Christian people, we go there looking for something for me. Blessings for me. Wealth for me. Health for me. Something for me. The Bible is not a me book. Oh, there are many, many blessings that come to the child of God. But this is a God book. And when we are blessed, it is for a divine purpose that we give ourselves to be a blessing to others. God commissions every one of us here to be his witnesses, to be his visuals, to be those who manifest the love of Christ. He's flooded our hearts with it by the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5. And so Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, as you have love one for another." That's why there are some 40 different occasions in the New Testament that are given as what we call the one another's. Love one another. Pray for one another. Encourage one another. Exhort one another. Some 40 different ones. We can't do that with people with whom we have no time to spend, and we have no interaction, and we just are lone rangers, and we come and we sit and we leave and that's it, and then we go back out into our world. Our culture does not make it easy to be a local assembly. We are pulled in lots of directions. But you know, when something has your heart, when you're gripped by something, you're changed by it. Even the little kid who was chasing after a girl, he was transformed when he became a runner. And Eric Little, who was indeed a great runner and put much effort to that, never lost vision and passion of who he was, a disciple of Jesus. So I'm not going to compromise. And he's on his way back to the mission field where he died, serving the Lord. God's visual, a body of people living in such a way that the world cannot live. Our world is full of hate, full of resentments, full of lust, full of greed, full of so many things. And we have the privilege of being a blessing in a lost world that is empty and angry. We have the blessing of manifesting a different spirit. That should convict myself and a lot of others when it comes to politics. It's fine to have convictions about what is right and good and desired for our nation. But we should hold those convictions in a spirit that does not dishonor Jesus Christ. And if we go into, as we may well, 4 years, 8 years, or for the rest of our lives, down a road that leads America to an America that we could never have thought it would take place, what are we going to do? What spirit are we going to manifest? Will anybody be blessed with the gospel of seeing a people who, though they are in anguish and hurt and all of this and suffer, and yet they manifest the Spirit of Christ? We need to have some communication with some of our brothers in other countries they have always lived in an environment, in nations, where the government and everybody else was against them. Amen. And yet they manifest the Spirit of Christ. If that comes to us, it gets through God's screen, and we need to deal with it in a way that, being blessed with the gospel, we are a blessing. Seeing and embracing this truth will transform us as a congregation, as individuals, but especially as a congregation, from a maintenance mentality to a mission-driven mentality. A maintenance mentality, there's no focus on being a blessing. We're unmotivated to care for the lost. We're content to be unskilled and unpracticed in carrying out the one another's. We're not mobilized to make disciples. We simply attend some church services, as long as it fits our schedule. A mission mentality is that we're driven by a master passion. I cannot forget that I have been blessed, gospel blessed, to be a gospel blessing. Mission-driven mentality, we have to set our eyes on the end purpose. And the end purpose is disciples. Go back and look at what we call the Great Commission. Go and make, mark, and mature disciples until He comes. And the end is you and I and all those to whom we have witnessed and all those who are our brothers and sisters gathered around the throne of God, worshiping Him. I must not allow the things that are temporal and passing so overwhelm me that I'm discouraged, I'm immobilized, life is not worth living. How often do I live and make decisions and choices in the light of I am on mission with God? I am a laborer together with God. Cultures change, politics change, many things change. But I am here as a part of the ultimate enterprise. Things that were at the top of the heap economically, they change. So many things change. Things that used to be are not now. But there's one enterprise that sometimes, though it looks in history, though you can't find it, God has always had a people. Jesus has never stopped building His church. He won't stop building His church. That's an enterprise above all other enterprises. It goes where UPS and nobody else can go, to the ends of the earth, to every kindred, tribe, and people. And whereas all the other things that people give themselves all the way to their bone and their life, and it passes away, this enterprise, the gospel, never passes away. It just gets better. Amen. For all eternity. The end is you and those to whom you have witnessed and brothers and sisters with whom you live before the throne of God. We were blessed and sought to be a blessing. Our vision dictates and directs our steps. And our vision keeps us from entanglement with the world, keeps us from being destroyed with depression because of the things coming on the earth. What did Jesus say? Men's hearts failing them for the things that are coming on the earth. But look up, your redemption draws nigh. Blessed to be a blessing. Real quickly, let me just say that the Acts of the Apostle gives an example, a model of all of this, and you could go through the whole book, but we can just zero in on the verses that were read earlier in Acts chapter 2, verse 21 through 24, or 44, and focusing on verse 42 through 47, where the blessing of the gospel was given, and the power of the word of God, the gospel is the power of God, transform people. Now sometimes he does amazing things like transform 3,000. And there have been missionaries who have labored on fields for years before there was ever one convert. Those things are out of our hands. God has times and seasons, but the gospel is always powerful, and God uses the gospel to convert the lost. The people in and around Jerusalem were not standing in line, "Will somebody please give us the gospel?" They were among those who had just crucified Christ. So it's not an easy place to stand up and preach. You killed Christ. God raised him from the dead. Repent. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you could be here this morning, and you've never faced the reality that it was your sin for which Jesus came and died. He died for sinners. He paid the sin debt for sinners. And the Spirit of God would help you to, would cause you to know that you are a sinner. You are born a sinner. You're a sinner by nature, sinner by choice. And you are without hope and without God, and religion or anything else can change your eternity. But there is a blessing, the gospel. And so, on that day, there were many people who were not changed that day, but 3,000 people were convicted. And that's one of the first signs that you come to have an awareness that God is at work in my life. I haven't just heard this information. We're sinners. A lot of people in America, this, less and less this is true, but certainly those of us who are older, we grew up in an era in the South where everybody, oh sure, we're all sinners. That's one thing. It's another thing to be convicted, stabbed in your heart. I am a sinner. I am without hope. I am without God. Jesus paid a debt he did not owe. I have a debt I cannot pay. And like the publican of old, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Those people on the day of Pentecost who were saved, they were blessed with the gospel. They immediately began to be a blessing. They not only devoted themselves to the Word of God and praying and studying the Word of God, but they devoted themselves to the fellowship. They devoted themselves to prayer. They devoted themselves to being a congregation. They who had been separate individuals, they devoted themselves to caring for one another. And so there was an environment where the Holy Spirit kept adding converts. They were not a maintenance group. They were a mission group. And God wants you and I to be shaken out of our maintenance mentality, to go out into the coming days with a mission mentality of who you are, whose you are, how you've been blessed, and you've been blessed to be a blessing. There in Acts 2, verse 21 through 41, they were confronted with a very strong message. And you and I need to be reminded that no different than those people, even though we were not physically among the people who killed Christ, and yet, who of us is innocent? Our sins have been laid upon Him. And when we see that by the grace of God, change begins to take place. Can you look back to a time? Can you, even this very day, say, this one whom God has raised from the dead, that was crucified, He is now Lord in Christ, and I'm a sinner. And there came a day when I saw that I was a sinner, and I repented and believed, and I thank God for His grace to do that, and now I'm a debtor. Oh, what a wonderful debt. See, this was Paul's master motivation. I am a debtor. In Romans, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. I am a debtor. I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to be a blessing. I have received gospel blessings. I'm going to give gospel blessings. He said, I don't know what I would say. Well, just be like the woman at the well. Come meet a man who told me all I ever did. Carry a track and pull that out and leave it. You can talk about what you experience. I still can hear a man who said he couldn't say and talk about anything. He's very shy. And I found out that at the place where he worked, he was an instructor. He could talk about what had his heart. He could talk about that with which he had a personal relationship. And so can you and I. The purpose this morning is not for us to feel condemned, but for us to feel a sense of incredible hope and purpose. I have been blessed, gospel blessed, to be a gospel blessing. Our Father, we thank You for Your amazing grace to us, for grace greater than all of our sin. We thank You for this master theme right straight through the Bible, that shows us the wonder of gospel blessings, the gospel preached to Abraham, the same gospel that the Apostle Paul preached, the same gospel that we preach today, the same gospel that changed the lives of countless millions throughout the ages, still changing lives. May we have a fresh awareness and fresh zeal that we are a part of the ultimate operation. None of this is going to be on the evening news. Nobody's going to get on the media and be excited about it. But we should be excited about it. Because it's the truth. It's the core truth. It's the essential truth. It's the truth above all other truths. The astounding wonder that we who deserve nothing but death and hell and justice, we have been given grace. We have been given the gospel, the blessings of the gospel, the transforming blessings of the gospel, that we might be a blessing, a gospel blessing in our world. And for this we pray and give thanks in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's stand together.